Good morning. Let's stand together as we begin our worship this morning by sharing in the call to worship. Give ear to our words, O Lord. Give attention to the sound of our cry, our King and our God. For to you do we pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear our voice. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May his blessing be upon his people. Please remain standing as you are able and let us continue in our worship by singing our hymn of praise.
While I'm talking, you might want to reach for a pencil in case there are any announcements that you want to jot down later. First off, welcome, church family. We're glad you're here. We're glad you made it. If you're a visitor, we want to say we're tickled that you're here. Would you please stop by the Connection Center, which is located in the garden room, and pick up a welcome packet, which includes a coffee card for you, gives you a bit of information about our church. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love it if you'd consider Grace of Christ. In your program this morning, you'll find a Connect card. Take that out. Let us know of your attendance. And if you have any prayer requests or any praise the Lord's, that's a good place to jot it down. I can tell you personally that Grace of Christ is one of the most praying churches I have ever encountered. And they pray faithfully for your prayer requests. They are definitely covered. And we count it an honor to pray for you. So if you have any prayer requests, you can jot them down on the Connect card and put them in the offering plate, which will be taken up later. We have a few announcements for you. Our family dinners are a great success. So mark your calendar for February 12th for the next one. Lasagna will be served. And if you can provide a side or a salad or dessert, that would be great. Our new life groups are starting up. Having a group of people to whom you can be accountable for is really a vital part of your Christian life. And so if you feel God tugging at your heart and you want to become one of our life group members, go check with the Connection Center and they can tell you more about where you might be placed or where you can join. And also you can find it, the information that on that online at, I think it's yakimagrace.com/life. The Bags of Hope, always enjoy those. We kick off our annual drive with the Bags of Hope to support the Love, Inc. ministry here in Yakima. And you'll find a list in your program, and we'll be collecting those grocery bags on Sunday the 26th. We will be having a chat with the elders on January 26th at 10:15. Come talk with them. They feel lonely sometimes if you never talk to our elders. Let them know you're here. Let them know your concerns. Let them know your praises. That's always good, too. So that will be January 26th at 10:15. And then February 2nd, this is another one to mark down. We're going to have one service at 10 a.m. with our annual meeting following at 11:15. That's when we get to vote on the session's recommendation of Pastor Bill for our pastor. So, and he's going to give us our vision for 2020. And then something else that has not gone into the Grace Alive, we are having a groundhog celebration. You say groundhog celebration? Yes. It's an underground attempt at having fellowship and coffee. And we will be singing groundhog carols and playing groundhog bingo. And it requires very little thinking and very little skill. So that's going to be January 30th at 2 p.m. So if you just want an excuse to come and eat, please join us. And now, Bill, you get to come up and help us with our ordination of officers. Oh, Janet, come on up.
Thanks, Ross. So today we have the honor of ordaining and installing a new leadership group at Grace of Christ of elders and deacons. These are the people that you nominated for the position and those that you voted to step into leadership roles. So ordination itself is a way of recognizing the new call that these individuals have on their lives, the call to serve God through serving the people at Grace of Christ, and also the new life of leadership that they'll be stepping into. Deacons in the church serve all of the church. They take care of us. They care for us with hospital visits, home visits. They celebrations of life celebrate that. They are the hardest working group in the church. And then there are elders, and they work hard also. What they do is, along with Pastor Bill, govern the church. Their responsibility for spiritual development and formation of the congregation. They'll serve on a variety of different ministry teams. And so both of these groups will be stepping into this leadership, and today we are going to have the opportunity to bless that leadership and all the work that they will do going forward. I'd like to invite Jeff Arkills, and he's going to introduce individuals to you.
All right. Please come up when I call your name. This is the Office of Deacons. Michael Beeler, Gene Breeding, Ken Breeding, Doug Doty, Janet Doty, Loxie Engbritson, Edith Figueroa Gonzalez, Matt Miles, Sarah Miles, Peggy Steer, Kathy Sturmoli, Steve Sturmoli, and Jake Weber. And then for the elders, Doug Burnd, Bruce Drawlinger, Michelle Elledge, Marcus Huck, Carla Cupp, Lowell Laberton, and Robin Stewart. And some of them weren't able to join us because they either were gone or they joined us for the 9 o'clock service.
So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I know some of you are here for the second time doing this. It's because we didn't feel you were good enough the first time, so you get it. Try again, okay? So when we get to the question and answers, really? Okay, all right. Just kidding. Glad you're here. Thank you for coming to both services, those of you here at the first service, because we do want everybody to have a sense of who will be caring and leading for our church. You are called by God, first and foremost, into these positions by the voice of His people here at Grace of Christ Presbyterian Church in Yakima to serve our Lord Jesus Christ as elders and deacons. And so I have some questions for you, just a reminder to you that you indeed feel called into this place and to publicly profess that call as well. So do you believe in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? And do you boldly declare Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the Church? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the unique witness to Jesus Christ and the authority for Christian faith and life? If so, I do. Will you receive, adopt, and be bound by the essential tenets of ECO as a reliable exposition of what Scripture teaches us to do and to believe? And will you be guided by them in your life and ministry? If so, I will.
I will.
Relying on the Holy Spirit, do you humbly submit to God's call on your life, committing yourself to God's mission, and fulfilling your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and guided by our confessions? If so, there wasn't an, I do. I had to look at that. They threw me off on that one. I may have to come back and do it a third time. Will you be governed by ECO's polity and discipline? And will you be accountable to your fellow elders, deacons, and pastors as you lead? If so, I will. Do you promise to be faithful in maintaining the truth of the gospel and the peace, unity, and purity of the church? If so, I do.
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, I will.
I will.
Now for the elders, will you be a faithful elder watching over the people in their worship, nurture, and service to God? If so, I will. And for the deacons, will you be a faithful deacon serving the people, urging concern and directing the people's help to those in need? If so, I will.
And now for the congregation, please stand. Do we, the covenant partners of this congregation, accept these elected leaders as elders or deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of ECO? Do we?
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who is alone the head of the church? Do we?
We do.
And you guys can go ahead and sit down. And I want to invite any elders, ordained officers, elders, deacons, or former pastors to come up, and we'll lay hands on all the elders and deacons here. And if you guys don't mind kneeling, if you're willing and able, we can do that. If you need to stand, that's fine. You can stand. We'll help you get up. Oh, sorry.
So please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you that these men and women love you. We thank you that they listen to you and that through listening they have answered this call to serve you by serving the people of Grace of Christ. As they step into this new ministry, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit fill them with wisdom, with energy, with love for the people, not only of Grace, but our community. And Lord, empower each and every part of their ministry and lead them to grow ever more in love with you and your church. In your name we pray. Amen.
You are deacons and elders. I said this at the first service. I'll say it again. It is so strange because once you were not an elder, now you are an elder. Once you were not a deacon, now you are a deacon, just like that. But I want to give you a final charge while you're here, reminding you of the words of The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Can we give thanks to God for the calling of these officers? And would you stand and greet one another at this time and bless each other in the name of Christ?
Have you hugged everybody you want to hug? Shaking hands? As you make your way back to your pew, you can be seated. And I ask that you bow your heads with me in prayer as we go before our most gracious Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, your word tells us to come before you with thanksgiving and to go into your courts with praise. So we come to you today thanking you for new beginnings, thanking you for new songs, new life, and new aspirations. You are a God of new hope, and we take courage in the fact that you always call us to look at the new things that you're doing. Father, our focus gets bogged down sometimes with the past, but you tell us to face forward and not look back, and to put our trust and our expectations in you. Thank you for your word and the vision it provides us. Thank you for sharing your Son, your love, and your promises with us. There is no other God but you, and you're worthy of all of our worship, our praise, and our adoration. Father, we ask that you help us open our hearts to your message today. Attune us to your voice. Guide us in the ways you would have us go, and help us overcome those fleshly desires that our sinful nature produces by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you so much that you've promised us freedom in those areas that have kept us enslaved. Keep us mindful that the victorious Christian walk is only achieved by submission to your Holy Spirit and not achieved by our own efforts. Enlighten our hearts to receive all that you have for us, empowered by the Spirit, redeemed by the Son, and so loved by the Father. Lord, as we face this new year, we ask that this congregation grows in the knowledge of, upholds, and displays your will. May we be a light to Yakima, a testament to your glory, and a help to those in need. And may all these aspirations bring the people of Yakima to a devoted and closer relationship with you. We pray that the leadership of our country will humble themselves, bow their knees to your authority, and act in accordance with your will. Father, please be with those in our congregation who are mourning. We think of Jean McKittrick and in Rod's passing this week. Please be with those who are ill, those who need emotional support, those who need financial support, those who need your guidance, and those who need your salvation. Lord, you are able and you are willing. Help us to choose life in all of its forms. In Jeremiah 29, you promise us you have plans for our, to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. Lord, we know you don't go back on your word. Your word is true, so we can look ahead with excitement and with joy. Oh, thank you so much. Father, we ask you to forgive us for the times that we have not believed you, for the times that we've taken situations into our own hands and tried to manipulate or persuade the situations without regard for your leadership. We ask forgiveness for not stopping to listen or obey your small, still voice. So in the next moments, Father, please speak to us and show us those areas that we need to confess to you and place under your guidance. Lord, we thank you that you're a merciful, loving, and gracious God, quick to forgive and always ready to restore. And now we recite the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. So I know today is January 12th, and I know that the Seahawks kind of numbers 12, so I'm wondering if that might bring them good luck today. But if you're in church today because you think by being here, God will look favorably upon the Seahawks, then you need to listen to my message from last week, all right? Because it ain't going to work. So we're in a new series. We're calling it Old Time Religion, New Time Faith. We brought back the old time potluck family dinners this past Wednesday night. What an awesome time. We had about 180 people. Gracia de Cristo served up some great taquitos and guacamole. It was great to be together with everybody. This morning's sermon, as we continue on in the book of Galatians, I'm calling it That Was Then, This Is Now. And so we're going to start here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through the end of the chapter to verse 24. And you'll hear, you'll see, Paul, in a sense, sharing about his life that was and now is in Christ. So here, the Apostle Paul speaking to us, God's word for us today. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. They glorified God because of Paul. They glorified God because of his testimony. God used Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentiles because of the testimony of his new life in Christ. That is also true for us. Let's pray. Father God, may our testimony continue to resound throughout the city of Yakima, throughout the county and around the world, Lord, that you indeed are a God who transforms and redeems and changes lives. And so we are grateful, Lord, to know that we all have a testimony, a story to tell. And so, Lord, as we peek into Paul's life, into his words in Galatians, would you speak to our hearts and our minds and continue to remind us that we are vessels for your usage, that we would become more and more like your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray and give you the glory. Amen. So I was in my office the other day, true story, and I was working on the message. I was in point two, I think, at that time. I'd already written the introduction, which I knew I was going to talk about the first time I ever preached here in this sanctuary, which was in 1995. And then John Yolo walked into the office at that time and, kind of laughing as he does, said, I have a funny picture and story to tell you. Somebody asked him to go and find something in the old Tower Talk archives, and he found this picture. Come to hear Reverend Bill Williamson, our associate pastor candidate, who will be preaching for all three services Sunday, March 19th, 1995. That was then, this is now. All right, you can get rid of that picture. The story I want to tell you, though, is on March 19th, 1995, I did preach at all three services, and at one of the services, I looked out, and I spotted Fred and Pat Erickson's son, Andrew. He and I were roommates at Whitworth College for at least a year, possibly a year and a half, maybe even two. When I saw him out in the congregation, I immediately knew what I had to do after the service. I had to find him, track him down in the garden room, hold him by the shoulders, look at him in the eye and say, I am a different person. I am not the same as when I was in college. We all have those stories, don't we? Who I was compared to who I am now. I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago, 20 years ago. And hopefully by the grace of God, I'm not the same person today who I was yesterday, nor who will I be tomorrow. That God is constantly changing us and transforming us. We have a before and after testimony when it comes to our Christian faith as well, of how we were perhaps lost but now found, blind but now we see. Paul has one of the most dramatic stories of conversion, and like our testimonies, Paul's testimony, his coming to faith, his being converted into a follower, disciple of Christ, was not of his own doing, not of his own choosing, but it was the grace of God that literally removed the scales from his eyes so that he could see the new life in his risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, for my first point, for Paul and for us, is that faith is the revelation of Christ. It's not our doing. I did not choose God. He chose me. I did not find God. He found me. He revealed himself to us. Paul says God was pleased to reveal to him his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at what he said in verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. It's not something that was taught me and then I give it to you. He says, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, he says, God revealed his Son to him. It was all about God and not about Paul. Imagine though, Paul trying to then go around convincing everybody that he was a different man. That he's not the same person they knew before the road to Damascus. You see, Paul didn't go to seminary. He didn't sit under some theological scholar. He didn't go to Sunday school. He didn't attend a Bible study. He didn't gain all the information that he needs. He wasn't given and instructed on the four spiritual laws. It was given to him by God. The gospel, the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ was revealed to him by God through the Holy Spirit. Most of us, if we were asked how we came to a saving faith in Christ, it might be hard to put into words. It might be hard to say, well, once I was this person, now I am that person. Some of you here today may not even recall such a dramatic moment in your life. But we all have a story. We all have a testimony. There is a time when all of a sudden the reality of the person of Christ changed who we are. We may have heard sermons. We may have gone to Sunday school. But our faith, the realization of who Christ was and is to come, was given to us through the revelation of God as the Holy Spirit came and enlightened, as Paul says, the eyes of our hearts, so that we might know the truth and be set free. Paul had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was changed. Literally, the eyes of his heart, but the scales in his eyes fell. He was transformed. He was changed. And as we see in our text this morning, Paul is very much aware of who he was before Christ and who he is now after Christ. In verse 13, he says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. You see, he not only was going around persecuting and imprisoning Christians, putting them to death, he was trying to obliterate the church of God. He was trying to destroy the name, the power of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was passionate. He was zealous to do that. He wanted to get rid of any sign of Christ. Verse 15 is a transition for the Apostle Paul. It's kind of like what happened before and after the road to Damascus. He basically says, I once did this. You heard about all the persecution I was doing, but And here's the dividing line. Here's that line of faith that God has brought me over. When he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was to reveal his son to me, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. See, he knew without a doubt that his life was changed. He knew he was different from the inside out. He didn't need to go and ask somebody, hey, what's going on with me? He didn't need to go to somebody and say, explain to me what took place on the road to Damascus. He said, I didn't need to consult anybody. Without a doubt, he says, I knew my life was changed. I knew. You see, you look at the first parts of those verses we read, and it's all about Paul. I did this, I did that. After verse 15, it's God did this and God did that. Once it was all about me, but now it's all about God. He goes on in verse 17, he says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to get any authentication of his conversion to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned to Damascus. See, Paul was converted. He was changed. He was set apart by God, by his grace, for a new life, but a new mission and a new calling. And he says, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I went to where God wanted me to go, to Arabia and Damascus, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He quickly stepped into the new life that God had given to him, that new calling that God had set him apart for. But as we know, when Paul started traveling and proclaiming the gospel and sharing the name of Christ, there were many who were very skeptical, who didn't get it. They said, no, that can't. Can you imagine Paul saying, no, really? Really, God's changed me. I'm a Christian. Yeah, right. We've heard all about you. We know all about you. Ananias didn't want to have anything to do with him. He said, Lord, he's been out killing people like me. And you want me to take him into my house? Paul was confident enough in who he was now in Christ. And therefore was confident that his life would bear testimony to the truth. So he went immediately to preach the gospel. Paul, of all the writers in Scripture, Paul is the one who is able to write from experience the familiar verses we know in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In fact, he says, we no longer judge people according to who they used to be, but according to who they are now in Christ. Paul knows that his old life is gone and that there is a new life that is welling up from within him, and he cannot do anything but go and tell the world that Jesus lives. Paul goes on in our text in verses 22 through 24. He says he went out to other regions. He preached the gospels who did not know Christ, and that he did not go to those who were already followers of Christ, but he says they were hearing what was taking place out in the other regions, that Paul, preaching the gospel, that people were reporting back, saying that his testimony is true, and it says those who heard the gospel glorified God. That Paul's life was indeed changed, that his message now was the gospel, the truth, the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a result, those who did not know Christ became followers of Christ. That's the evidence. That's the proof of a life that has been changed. You and I have also been called by God and set apart. We've not been set apart by God that we might live holy lives, that we might be righteous people, that we might come to church and that we might say, he didn't set us apart to do that. He set us apart that we too might share our story with those who would listen. He set us apart that we, like Paul, would go and tell others, once I was lost, now I'm found. We may not be able to prove anything to them. We may not be able to convince them of the truth that has been revealed to us. But God's word is true when he says in Revelation, he says, by the blood of the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, and by the testimony of the saints, by you and I sharing our faith with others, he says, the enemy is destroyed, the one who is the accuser, the one who wants to convince you you are not saved. The one who wants to remind you of your past. The one who wants to tell you, you are not worthy. You do not have a story or a testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of God's children, he's defeated and destroyed. That's what God has called us to. That is what God has set us apart for. It comes by the revelation of Christ. And then my last point, faith is the authority of Christ. You and I, as followers of Christ, have been given all the authority in heaven and on earth because of Christ who now dwells within us. You and I have been given the presence and the power of Christ. And we can proclaim the good news. We can share the gospel. We can offer a testimony with confidence, with authority, but also with humility. It's not our words. It's not us. But it's allowing God to use us as his vessels to speak truth into the lives of others. We do not need to strong-arm somebody into the kingdom. We do not need to convince them of all the truth that we know. We do not need to make certain that they pray the sinner's prayer to be guaranteed of their salvation. The truth is, you and I can't save anybody. You and I can't transform a person's heart or life. It's not our job. It's God's job. We're just to be used by him when and where, if he ever wants to use us. We do not need to prove ourselves to anybody, but we are to let our life be a demonstration and a testimony of the one who has demonstrated and proved his love for us. Now, I love a good debate. I love arm wrestling with somebody who doesn't believe what I believe, as far as salvation goes. I'd love to be able to share the unfathomable love of God with somebody who does not understand that God loves them and has a plan for them. I love doing that. I used to go out on college campuses and I would try to wrestle people with the four spiritual laws and convince them that they need to believe today. That was then. This is now. And I've come to realize that I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to debate with anybody. I just need to, as Paul knows, plant some seeds, drops of grace, love on them, care for them, be who I am in Christ and allow some of that to fall off onto them. Somebody else come along and maybe do some watering. But as Paul knows, it is up to God to create the growth. Imagine if Paul, after his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, immediately, instead of going to the Gentiles, went to Jerusalem, went to the apostles, went to all the other new disciples and Christians trying to convince them, to plead with them, trust me, I'm a new man. Imagine if his whole life was spent trying to prove to the world that he was changed, that he was a Christian. He would have neglected his call. He would have been sidetracked, derailed. He would have been spinning his wheels, chasing his tail. And the gospel wouldn't have gone out to the Gentiles. It'd be like being on that stationary bike or treadmill I talked about last week. A lot of work, a lot of energy, but not producing anything. So Paul, confident in who he is in Christ, felt, I don't need to debate this with anybody. God has a call on my life and I'm going to follow it now. You know, sometimes all we have to do, as Jesus said, is just if we're rejected, if we're ridiculed, just shake the dust off our feet and move on. But if Paul continued to convince people and try to please people and try to win their approval and their applause and, you know, okay, now you know who I am today. Paul says in verse 10 that we saw last week, he says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's a lot of wasted energy, a lot of time spent doing what others think we should be doing rather than making certain we're doing what God has called us to do. It reminds me of a story I just read this past week that I want to share with you. It's a version of a popular parable that Reverend McMillan tells the story of an interview with a retired greyhound dog. The greyhound was sitting, relaxing, chilling under a tree, sipping on some lemonade. Reverend McMillan asked this greyhound dog, "Why are you just relaxing under the tree, sipping on lemonade? Shouldn't you be running over at the greyhound track?" The greyhound dog began to testify, saying, "I've been running for the last 3 years. I was first out of the box, chasing after that rabbit. I won medal after medal, trophy after trophy. I expended a whole lot of energy trying to win that race. But I want you to know, a couple of days ago, I got up before the break of dawn. I snuck over and went to where the rabbit was being kept. And after I peeked into the box, I gave up chasing rabbits." "You see," he said, "although the rabbit was moving and moving fast, that rabbit ain't real." To which the author says, as Christians, we've been chasing after rabbits. But I'm here to tell you today, that rabbit ain't real. We can spin our wheels, we can chase our tail, we can do all that we think others think we should be doing, but we'll get exhausted. We'll get burned out. We may even just give up entirely because we're not going to be able to please everybody. The rabbit ain't real. And it's not about us trying to figure out and understand what we can do that others think we should be doing, but instead getting on our knees and surrendering our life to God and saying, "God, here I am, your servant. What do you want me to do?" Trying to win the approvals of others, trying to please others, to convince them of our faith, is like chasing after rabbits that ain't real. Well, you might say, "Well, won't we convince the world that we are Christians by our good works?" Yeah. In fact, Paul in another letter says, "Hey, by your good works, others will come to know Christ and glorify God." So yeah, there is something about a transformed life that our works are on display for the world. But Jesus didn't say, "They will know you are my disciples. They will know you are Christians by all your good works. By trying hard to be a good Christian." No, he said, "They'll know you're a Christian. They'll know you're a part of the family of God as you," and this is the only commandment he really gives us, "love God and love others." Then the proof is in the pudding. But yeah, but isn't there still something we should be doing? No, there isn't something you should be doing, but there is something you will do as a result of being transformed and converted. You will live your life giving evidence of the transformation, the conversion of Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for," being confident in who we are in Christ, "and the conviction or the evidence of things not seen." So, yes, there may be strangers who are watching us, and there may be some truth to that old-time illustration that if you were put on trial for being a Christian, what kind of evidence would they have? People are paying attention. They want to know, are you the same person I see on Sunday mornings as you are at the market on Monday? So the world is watching. There is to be evidence in our lives that we indeed are new creations in Christ. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what does the world see? Who did the early Christians see in this new person called Paul? Who does this world see in you as a follower of Christ? What is your reputation in the world? And does it line up with who you are and who you know you are in Christ? They say that some Christians are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good, that we don't really pay attention to what we do in this world. But sometimes I wonder if we're too worldly, too earthly minded to be any heavenly good. So yeah, we need to be confident in who we are in Christ. Stop spinning our wheels trying to earn God's love, or think if we do more or live better or put more money in the offering plate that will convince God that we truly are in love with Him and that He might bless us more as a result of that. Let's quit chasing after rabbits that aren't real, trying to please people, trying to convince them that we are a Christian, or doing what we think they think we should do. That's just chasing after our own tails. I hope that makes sense. Because so many times in my Christian life, I always felt as though I was under somebody else and not God. That I had to live my life according to what they thought I should be doing and not according to what God thought I should be doing. And that is a weight, a yoke that Paul in our text this morning wants to take off of all of us. That we would live our lives confidently, freely, with authority, knowing that God has called us, given to us the revelation of Jesus Christ by His grace, that He has set us apart to live our lives for Him and not for others. And I close with this verse that I shared with the elders and deacons earlier. Whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Gracious God, forgive us when we go through the motions. Forgive us when we take You for granted and don't think our life needs to really reflect anything of who we are in Christ. Forgive us when we just do our due diligence and we go to church, we read the Bible and pray, but we're not allowing You to use us in this world to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, You've called us by Your grace. You've set us apart. We are different than a lot of people in this world. We can't explain it sometimes. We don't have to prove it at times, but help us to live it by Your strength, by Your Spirit, according to Your good and perfect will. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As the ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings in response to God's word and his love for us, let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for reminding us that when we look at creation, when we look at our life, everything that you have given to us, we wonder why. Who are we, Lord, that you love us and care for us, that you are mindful of us? But Lord, time and time again, you do remind us of the fact that you loved us more than we could possibly ever imagine or understand before we could ever love you. And because of your love, you sent your Son to us. That's how important we are to you. That's how valuable we are to you. You did not want to be separated from us anymore. And so you sent your Son to us, who faithfully, obediently, humbly gave himself for us. And so, Lord, we now give back to you through our monetary gifts, but also just through our love and our response to you as our Heavenly Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Wow. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, reminding you that it is well. And may He turn His countenance towards you and give you peace now and forever. Amen. God bless.